Back on October 13th, 2000, at an 8:30 service at the Prayer Center in Tulsa, Gary Carpenter shared this following word. It was the word that the Lord had given to him. Your revelation has far outpaced your transformation. Your revelation has far outpaced your transformation. And I've thought about that and thought about that. And here's another way to state it. I know more than what I am. I know more than what I am. And I began thinking about this more and more and more, this whole concept. And the Lord began to take this and share more with me about it. And I want to pass this along to you as well, because I really believe it's going to help you. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll take a look here at one verse. It kind of exemplifies, I mean, it states it differently from a different angle, different perspective. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, using that verse to exemplify, we could say it like this. Ever learning and learning and learning, but never conforming to that knowledge. Never becoming that knowledge. So we begin to play this out and begin to think about it more and more. We do need knowledge. That's not debatable. Now, I'm talking knowledge of the things of the kingdom. But we also need transformation to that knowledge. And this, I think, is where a lot of people have made their mistakes. I know, you know, I've been guilty of that in the past. Over the time, you know, and this is going to happen again, inevitably. This always comes up sooner or later. Somebody asks me, usually through an email, where do you get your information? Now, they're not trying to be funny or sarcastic. They're serious. You know, where do you get your information? Where do you get your teaching? Where do you, like, what concordances do you use? What commentaries do you use? And it's interesting how that some folks, it's almost like they have an extremely difficult time understanding, I just don't rely on those things. You know, I've shared before, the Holy Spirit is my commentary. And I present this to them and I try to explain things. And I do, at times, I will use certain reference books as far as historical information is concerned. And that's very helpful at times. But as far as commentary, I used to use those a long time ago. I mean a long time ago. And I used to want to get all the commentaries possible. And thank God I didn't, because that would have been a lot of wasted money. But I used to want all of these sources of information. And I still like, every now and then, getting a book that's great on the historical aspect of what happened during the Bible times and all that. But I tell people, you know, I don't rely on them. And sometimes people will send me an email, well, what do you think about, you know, the Strongs? Or what do you think about the Vines? And I tell them, well, you know, those basically just give you an introduction to what the Word's really all about. In fact, there are times when I feel like the Strongs, I won't go into detail, but there was one time I looked something up in the Vines. I was just curious as to what they put in there, and I thought, this ain't cutting it at all. But and I remember one email I got from somebody, what do you think about Strongs? What do you think about Vines? And I replied back that I'll hear a sermon, I kind of chuckle on the inside, because sometimes I can tell when they are using the Vines or the Strongs in their sermon without telling us that's what they're using. Oh, I recognize that. You know, I bet I know where you got that. I don't do that, you know. But on the inside, I can recognize it. The downside to that is you don't always get the full understanding of what is being said. And it's not that the vines or the strongs is that they're bad. They're not complete, I guess is a better way to say that. They are absolutely not complete. Well, when people ask me these things, and I explain to them that I really don't rely on those resource materials anymore, I rely on the Holy Spirit, in some cases, that is a challenge to them. Because they're not used to relying on the Holy Spirit. We say we rely on the Holy Spirit, but I can tell you this, if you're really relying on the Holy Spirit, it will show. If you're not, it will show. You'll know, especially if you spend time praying in the Spirit. As we gain knowledge, here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit will take Scripture and He will present it to you some way, somehow. It could be through your own time of prayer and meditation in the Word, or it could be a result of a teaching coming from somebody who has spent time praying in the Spirit and meditating in the Word. But somehow the Holy Spirit will bring clarity to a passage of Scripture. So now you have this information. You have this knowledge about what a verse means or what a chapter is all about. I know for years, 1 Corinthians 13 to me was about, if I love you, here's how I will act toward you. And then, you know, it was used at weddings and so forth. Love doesn't do this. Love doesn't do this. Here's what love will do. And so for years, I thought the Apostle Paul was just writing about, well, this is how it's going to be when you're nice to people. When you treat them the way that you're supposed to treat them. Then one day the light went off and I realized that is not what he's talking about. What he is describing is God's love. And this is how a supernatural love that is not human in origin operates. This is how it works. So when this love is working in you, then this is how you will be on earth. Well, when I saw that, when that finally clicked with me, I realized, I'll just say it like this, how far below God's love we really are operating. And, you know, for me as well. And I began to see how that, okay, I might be able to meet this as a human with human effort, but when you realize that what he's talking about there in 1 Corinthians 13 is a love that is birthed out of God himself, then that means the only way that I can be that love, that I can be 1 Corinthians 13, is if I transform into that knowledge. See this? Otherwise, it's just knowledge. That's all it is. So the Holy Spirit will come along and He will give you the breakdown of a particular verse, a passage, whatever it would be. Having that understanding does not mean you have become what that verse or passage is talking about. And I can see how this is where a lot of Christians have made big mistakes. They think that when they get the breakdown of a passage of Scripture, this a line upon line teaching, and they now understand what it means, then, wow, that means that I have matured to that level of that passage, to the level of the revelation in that passage or in that verse. When in reality, no. What it means is you've matured to the place to where that information has now been given to you as your goal. It's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying, okay, now you sit right there. Just sit right there. I'm going to bring you something. And he comes over here and he grabs this revelation and he comes back and he says, here, check this out. And you're looking at that and it's like, oh, wow, now I understand what Mark chapter 4 is all about. Or, I mean, or whatever it would be. And you're all excited. And then I've seen this, I've observed it. So then what people want to do is they want to take that revelation and run over here and tell all their friends. Well, no, that's okay, really. It's not a bad thing. But having that revelation, having that knowledge, does not mean you have become what that knowledge is revealing. It simply means you now have a greater understanding of a passage than you had before the day started. Well, this is a great mistake that a lot of people make. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you have a marker, put it here, because we'll probably leave 1 Corinthians 8 and then come back to it a little bit later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Well, the charity, what we just were talking about there, 1 Corinthians 13. But this part right here, knowledge puffeth up. One of the things that Satan will do is work on a person in the area of pride when they come to the place of understanding a passage of Scripture they didn't know. And in fact, Satan worked on the Apostle Paul to try to get him caught up in pride. If you know, it's like, if you can't beat them, join them. Devils push, the Holy Spirit leads. So Satan would like to get you caught up in pride. Look what I know. Now, what do you think this passage means? Well, I think it means, oh, no. Let me tell you what it really means. Now, all of a sudden, you're the grand know-it-all, figuratively speaking. You say, wow, where did you get that? Well, you know, you can say the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, which is true. But, and you can also say, well, you know, our pastor or, you know, whoever was teaching on this, and they brought this out. And, you know, but obviously the Holy Spirit was involved. So, you know. But anyhow, knowledge puffeth up. Now, one of the things that knowledge will do in this puffing up thing, it can get you to thinking you are more mature spiritually than what you really are. Well, I now understand. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13, that's talking about God's love, not get married love. That's God's love. And I can see that. Boy, I understand that. Wow, praise God for the revelation. Now I understand this. But are you it? Are you that love? Well, I'll tell you after I get through suing my neighbor. As soon as this court case is finished, I'll let you know. I have the revelation, but I have not transformed into that revelation. Let me show you something. I'll give you a few verses here. Like I said, leave that marker in 1 Corinthians, but look over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to try to bring some verses out to your attention here tonight. Not a whole lot of them. To help you see this a little more clearly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, speaking of Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So here we have this verse. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now we can all quote this. And we can all, you know, declare this truth to everybody we know. And somebody comes along and says, well, you know, I don't believe in healing. It's like, oh no, by His stripes you were healed. But are we living that verse? Okay, No show of hands. Have you ever in your mind wondered when battling a physical anything? You ever wondered why I'm not healed yet? Says here, by his stripes you were healed. I know it says that, but I just don't understand why my healing hasn't manifested. You really don't? That's because you have the knowledge of this, but you've not been transformed to this truth. You know, now let me just throw this out to you. You know how Jesus was on earth? You think he ever bumped his head on something? You think it hurt? Now see, when you say something like that, it's making Jesus too human for some Christians. Oh no, Brother Martin, he may have bumped his head, but it never hurt. You think he ever stubbed his toe? Oh, not the Lamb of God. What do you think? He ever was barefoot and stepped on a stick or something? I mean, are you getting what I'm... Okay, now, how long do you think he stayed injured? Oh, he was never injured, Brother Martin. You know what? We just learned a lot about you. Jesus was a human being with the life of God. He was not pure deity on earth. Now, I'm telling you right there, I've been thrown out of churches. That's it, sermon's over. Get him out. Because there are a lot of Christians who believe he was 100% pure deity and nothing but when he was here on earth. That's impossible because he was born of a woman. Deity doesn't need to be born. Deity exists. Think about it. Now, it says right here that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. So, you know, let's kind of forget about everybody else but me. You know, you, us as an individual. By his stripes you were healed. The more we live that knowledge, is the more we're going to see healing manifest in our bodies much more quickly. Because this truth is not going to change. Well, if the truth's not going to change, then what needs to change? Me. I have this revelation, but I have not yet experienced the transformation into this revelation. But now here's a kicker. When I was being raised in church, we didn't even have the revelation. We did not believe that divine healing was for today. We did not believe. I mean, our prayer was, "Oh God, if it be thy will." Because we didn't think it was a guaranteed thing. And we didn't think it was a promise. We didn't believe this could happen. So therefore, we would say, "Father, if it be thy will." And we would come up with another explanation for this verse right here. And the fact that this verse was referenced back in Isaiah. So I didn't even have that revelation. And here's the weird thing about it. I could sit and read my Bible to the whole congregation and read right through this passage. And people would say amen to it. Because we would agree that the Word of God is true. But yet we would say, this is not for today. Well, it was for them back there when they got the church started and so on and so forth. We didn't even have the revelation. We acknowledged, yeah, this is truth, but we did not have the revelation of this truth. So we didn't even have anything to transform to. Isn't that crazy? Well, as time passed, I began to realize, after I'm seeing people get healed, it's like, okay, wait a minute, maybe this verse is for today. Maybe healing is for today. So now I go back and I read it and it's like, well, glory to God. Yeah, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Well, I'm a ye, that means me. So therefore, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. Now I have the revelation. But do I have the transformation into the revelation? No, not yet. Because I've battled physical things over the years. After getting this revelation, I've battled physical things much longer than what I should have. My physical condition does not change this verse. But this verse can change my physical condition when I have transformed into what it is telling me. Look at another place. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, that goes right along what we just read there in Peter. That goes right along with those that believe in me, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, you know, we sure didn't believe that either. We'd read it and, yes, amen, the word of God is true. But we didn't believe that. We thought, well, you know, for the apostles, but not for us today. Well, then later on I got the revelation that, well, wait a minute, that is for us today because I believe in him. Therefore, according to that, I lay hands on the sick and they recover. The problem is too many people have not recovered after I laid hands on them. I'm not talking about an instantaneous miracle. I'm just talking about maybe 24, 48 hours, something like that. I'm talking about recovering. Too many people have not done that. Too many people have continued to battle a physical something after I laid hands on them and prayed. Well, I can't blame them. Because what if they don't have that revelation? What if they've never read that? But I have that revelation. And because I have that revelation, that means I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But until I have transformed to that revelation, then I'm not going to see people getting healed like I should see people getting healed. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, again, that's truth. It's not going to change. But I didn't have the revelation of that for such a long time. Then I come to start thinking about what happens when you get born again. And I begin to realize there are other things in Scripture talk about, you know, the old man, you know, passed away, these things are gone. If any man be in Christ, well, okay, I'm in Christ, then he's a new creature. A new creature, I'm a new creature. Well, if I'm a new creature, then I can't be the old thing I was beforehand. Well, yes, that's right, you're a new creature, you're forgiven. Those people in the Old Testament were forgiven. All they had to do was kill a goat. They were forgiven. So this has to mean more than that. New creature. I am new. What does new mean? Born again. What does born again mean? Well, see, back when I was in church years ago when I was young, born again just simply mean the blood of Jesus has cleansed you of your sin and now you're going to heaven. But the blood of the animals got people forgiven of their... The blood of the animal got people cleansed of their sin when they offered the animal. You see what I'm saying? Because God didn't come back and say, well, I don't care you killed that animal. I still hold you guilty for that sin. No, he said, you offer the animal when you commit the sin, and it's a done deal. Well, born again has to mean more than I'm just forgiven. It has to mean more. And here it says I'm a new creature. Now, I can read this, and I can agree it's the Word of God. But if I don't accept what it's saying, then I don't have the revelation. What's the revelation? I'm new. I am not what I used to be. I'm not the same person. I am born again. I don't have a sin nature. Because if I had a sin nature, then I would not be born again. I'd just be cleansed again. But I have God's life and God's nature. Well, I come to that revelation, and I realize, that's right, bless God, I don't have a sin nature. Now, I don't care what you think, what you teach. Bottom line is, according to the Word of God, Jesus didn't come to just get me forgiven. He came so I could be changed. So therefore, I'm forgiven and changed. I'm a new creature. But have I been transformed to that revelation? Sadly, not enough. I still have not been transformed to the living reality of what this verse is telling me. So I know what it says, but I am not yet what it says in my day-to-day life. See what I'm getting at? Let's look at another one here. 2 Corinthians, take a look here again, chapter 5. In verse 21 it says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you don't have to look over, I'll just quote from this verse, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it talks about us living according to that new man, which, according to God's pattern, was created in righteousness and true holiness. So what I'm seeing here is that I have been made the righteousness of God. Now, if that's true, I can't go around preaching and teaching there's none righteous, no, not one. I know there's a verse over there in Romans about that, but I have to keep it in context. That where he says there's none righteous, no, not one, he's talking about before you come to know Jesus Christ, you can kill all the animals you want to, but you're still not righteous according to God's standard of righteousness. Here he says that Jesus was made to be sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God. So I'm the righteousness of God. And I also see that Jesus was made sin for us. What I always heard was Jesus bore our sins on the cross. Now, I'm not disagreeing with that, okay? But all we heard was Jesus bore your sins on the cross, took your sins to the cross, died under the penalty of your sins. Jesus bore your sins. But God made him sin. It wasn't just like he took a cloak of sin and, you know, put it on like a jacket and I'm bearing your sin. No, he was made sin. He was made a sin nature. That's what happened to him. He had to die in our place. What place? The place of sin nature to humanity. And so here it tells me God made him to be sin. So I've got to get that revelation settled in me. He didn't just bear my sin. He was made my sin. He took my place. And putting my faith in him, I am made the righteousness of God in him. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a ton of Christians out there. They don't have this revelation. I didn't. I didn't believe I was righteous. I was just a sinner saved by grace. I still had a sin nature. I mean, that's what I believe based on what I was taught. You cannot be righteous. You sure can't be the righteousness of God and have a sin nature. That is impossible. So this right here, where it tells me that I've been made the righteousness of God, that means, right? I mean, it tells me you don't have a sin nature. So I first have to capture this revelation, but then I have to be transformed to that revelation. And when I'm transformed to that revelation, then I'm going to live a whole different life. If you wake up every morning knowing that you are the righteousness of God, you go to bed every night knowing that you're the righteousness of God, when that becomes your life, you live differently. It's no longer just a concept you agree with. In fact, acknowledging truth and flowing in it are two different things. I acknowledge this is true, but am I flowing in it? Let's look at another place. Look in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. There's so many verses we could look at. This is just to kind of wet your whistle, so to speak. You know, bait the hook, and when you go through Scripture and start seeing these things, and you realize, I understand what that means, then you ask yourself, but am I what I know about this passage? Well, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, you want to mess up some people's theology, just teach this passage, two verses. God is love. He is love. He loves because that's what he is. He doesn't love because he chooses to. He doesn't love because you've been good today. He loves because he is love and he cannot help himself. Well, when we get that understanding, and when it goes beyond just the words we read and it becomes a revelation, then we begin to understand, I can pray for my president and it won't be hard. There are so many Christians, well, I just can't pray for that man. I just can't pray for him. Boy, the stuff that he does, the I mean, the just it's just, it's the hardest thing in the world for me to pray for. Do you realize something? That when he stands before God for all of his positions, all of the things he's promoted, he will be accountable for that. I know, Brother Martin. Boy, bless God, I'm waiting for that day too. Now, do you realize you're going to be in more trouble than he? Why, I'm not in favor of homosexuality and abortion and all these other things that he does. I'm not in favor of any of that stuff. Well, that's right. You have the nature of God. There is no unforgiveness in God's nature. There is no lack of love in God's nature. There is only compassion. There is only, I am not willing that any perish, but that all come to know my Son Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There is no, boy, you just wait till judgment day. There is only, I sent my Son to the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And why did I do that? Because I so love the world. That's the only thing that you're going to find in God. And the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it says right here, God is love, and as He is, so are we in this world. That means from God's position, there is no way you can justify holding unforgiveness toward anybody for anything. I don't care what they've done. And some people would look at that, and Christians, that's a rather flippant statement. You just don't know what's happened in people's lives. I don't have to know what's happened. I have to know what God's Word says. God says He is love, and God says, as He is, so are we in this world. That means I can find it easy. I can find it as easy to pray for the president as I can to pray for you. You know why? Because the more that I am experiencing transformation into this revelation, I begin to see people the way he sees people. And it's easy for me to pray for him. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. Please. I'm not picking on anyone. However, when Christians bellyache and fuss and say, oh, I just can't pray for that man, they have told you a lot. They don't even have this revelation. They really don't understand this. Because if you even understand this, you're going to guard what you say. And then work on your heart. I wasn't always like that. Well, sue them. You know, sue their pants off. Just, you know, whatever you can get. Why make them pay? Eye for an eye. Take them both. Leg for a leg. Whatever. Just, you know, get even. That's how I used to be. You're going to pay for this. I'll get you. God says, wait a second. My son Jesus went to the cross for all that stuff you're upset about. Now, he died under those transgressions. He died as that sin. Now, you profess him as your Savior? Where do you find in Scripture that I've given you the kingdom right to have that kind of attitude? Yes, but I'm upset and I'm mad and I'm hurt. Yes, and I poured out my wrath on my Son. Now, what do you have to say? Well, and if we'd be honest, what we would say is, God, please quit meddling. This is what it says here. This is, first off, I have to get this revelation. Then when I get this revelation that God is love, it isn't just God loves, God exists. Love. This is a love that is, again, supernatural in origin. It is not human in origin. It only comes from one source. And then he says that as he is, so are we in this world. He sees me. He sees my born-again self as he sees himself. Not deity. I have to grow into that revelation to become what he has already said. Because he's not going to change what he said. Here is part of the problem in this. A lot of Christians, they just don't seem to want to be what God has said in His Word. Number one, they don't seem to want to accept the revelation, whatever it would be, in whatever scriptures it would be, not just here in 1 John. It's like they don't seem to want to accept the revelation, and then there are some that you know, they just don't seem to want to experience the transformation into the revelation. But the funny thing is, they still want all the blessings. They still want all the glory. They still want all the anointing. They still want all that stuff. It doesn't work that way. You have to experience a transformation into this revelation. In Acts 10:38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. An Acts 10:38 anointing is far different from the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gifts of the Spirit. If you go back, you know, take a look at 1 Corinthians, that was a messed up church, but they still had gifts in operation. What they did not have was an Acts 10:38 anointing. Because Jesus had that anointing and he went about doing good. And some people would say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus. That's not us. But now, as he is, so are we in this world. What that means is, I have the potential to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, not just filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Not just filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but matured to the place to where these signs are following me because I believe. Believing is not simply agreeing. Believing is becoming. I believe it, and so therefore I am pressing into becoming what I believe. I am transforming into this revelation so that I can be the example of Jesus in this world. Look back over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, now as touching, again, verse 1, it says, we know that we all have knowledge. Well, sure we do. We all have knowledge. Every one of us has levels of knowledge, if you will. In other words, you may understand more passages of Scripture than what I understand. And I might understand more than the other person. But we all have levels of knowledge, levels of truth. Let's just put it that way. We all have levels of truth. But he says, knowledge puffeth up. However, charity edifieth. What is charity? God's love. God's love edifieth. Now this takes me back to what I just read over there in 1 John. God is love. God's love edifieth. Edifieth in what way? It causes me to change. In Jude, it talks about, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Then in Romans 5:5, it talks about how that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. When we're going through, we see in Scripture how that, why, yes, we can be used in the gifts and so forth. And so we want to see power. We want to see demonstrations. We want to see all those things happen. And that's not wrong. But what God wants to see is us becoming 1 Corinthians 13. He's wanting us to become that love. He's wanting us to experience a transformation into the revelation of His love. That is the ultimate for us. When we 2 Corinthians 3:18 about being transformed, changed from glory to glory into the image, that's talking about, is not just simply talking about, you know, power, raising the dead and all this other. It's talking about God's love. So when I begin changing, it's going to be based on God's love. Well, I thought it was because I was praying in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So yes, as you're praying in tongues, you better believe the teaching is coming, the change. I mean, all these things are happening, but it's all going to be based on God's love. That's going to be the foundation of all of this that takes place. One of the greatest things that you can do is pray, Father, help me to see people the way you see people. Help me to love people the way you love people. help me to understand people the way you understand people. You're not asking for insight into all of their secrets. What you're asking for is a totally different perspective relative to people in general. And when that happens, you read the newspaper and you see somebody has just killed, you know, a bunch of kids and all this other kind of stuff, and raping and all this. And instead of saying, bless God, they ought to just take that guy out, do the same to him that he did. Instead of saying that, you're going to feel a breaking in your heart. This person is deceived. They may have a devil living on the inside of them. They need Jesus, because if they don't get saved, they're going to burn in the lake of fire for all eternity. And that is not what God wants. Your whole perspective is going to be different. You're not going to want revenge. You're not going to want retribution. You're not going to want judgment here on earth. You're going to want to see those people saved and set free and transformed and becoming like Jesus. But there are too many Christians who aren't like that. But the more you become like God, the more that you are transformed into the revelation of what Scripture is revealing, what Scripture is showing, then the more you're going to start operating out of the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. For God so loved the world. Jesus moved with compassion. On and on it goes. It all goes back to that foundation of love. And I know for so long, I didn't, you know, love. Okay, you know, great. Let's all join hands and sing Kumbaya. Love, love, love. All you need is love. And I didn't understand. That's not what God was talking about. He was talking about something supernatural. And that everything He does is based from that supernatural foundation. His love, because He is love. So when we go to God, Father, I want to change. Instead of asking for power, help me conform to Your love. Help me be Your love. Because the more you be Him, the more you be His love, guess what, guys? Power is going to flow. These things will happen. It's changing your approach. And the more that we transform to this revelation of what we see in the Word of God, is the more we're going to become like God, the more we operate by love, but the more we're going to see these things in the Word of God happen in our lives. It'll go from, well, yes, amen, that's right, by His stripes you were healed, to, yeah, you know what? By His stripes, I am healed. Remember my arm was like this yesterday? Look here. Healed by His stripes. I'm living it. I'm living it. And so, as you go through Scripture and you're comprehending what you read, don't simply rejoice, praise God, I finally understand this passage after 20 years. Rejoice, hallelujah, I finally understand this passage, but now I have to be this passage. Father, help me be what I just figured out. The revelation, or the transformation into the revelation.